Hey everybody, Sean here. So this episode is definitely a bit of a mess, if you will. So we had Paul on, and we did it remotely, which three people remotely is a little bit tough. We talk about that on the show. But also, it appears Joe might have had some technical issues. I'm recording this before I review his file, but it may not. It may not be great. So I'm going to look at the file, but you may be hearing two phone calls. This might be one of the worst, most chaotic episodes ever. But hey, if you like that, enjoy. If this is your first time listening, don't listen to this one. Listen to something else. Listen to the one before this or something and skip this until you appreciate us. All right. Because you will eventually. You just, it's Stockholm syndrome, essentially. Anyway, guys, enjoy this. Enjoy what you can of this episode, all right? I love you guys. I appreciate you guys. Make sure you follow us on Instagram at I Hate Horror and join in on Reagan's contest. Enter into that so you can win this cool grab bag full of prizes, tons of prizes. Join us there. And make sure you join us for Ticks. Next Saturday, August 7th, tickets at ihatehorror.com. Patreon members, I just remembered I didn't put the discount codes for the other Patreon members. Mango Expert tiers, though, they're in for free. Other Patreon members, I will post those discount codes probably at the end of the week, okay? So I'll post those, and then you can buy your tickets. No, I'll do it earlier. I'm sorry. I'm just thinking out loud. Guys, just enjoy Aquanoids with our friend Paul.
It's the horror show with Sean and Joe. Another episode ready to go. They're gonna talk about the good and the trash and anything in between. Cherishing make-believe, get ready for Halloween. It's the horror show. I know you miss those guys. Tune in and find out what's on their list tonight. They butcher and dissect, take apart and mutilate. Listen to your two favorite brainiacs communicate. It's the horror show.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to The Horror Show, the show that dissects, mutilates, dismembers, and butchers all of your favorite and not-so-favorite horror movies and other horror-related events. I'm Sean.
I'm Joe.
Hola.
Is there anyone else here? Oh, there he is. Hey, it's Paul. How you doing, Paul?
What's up, everyone?
Paul, you know you can talk.
Fabulous. Doing it right now, Joe. Doing it right now.
Paul is here for his first, his return since we, restarted the show.
Crazy. It's taking this long.
Paul's married now. How's married life, buddy?
I was married last year too, but hello.
Yeah, but you weren't on the fucking show.
I mean, you still haven't been on.
Oh,
so
it's great, guys. Everything's good. Back to giving myself hand jobs now.
What the fuck?
Isn't that what happens when you're married?
Yeah.
You gotta yerk it?
Yeah. Right, never
mind. Okay, tough crowd.
I'm trying to look up like marriage dad jokes, but they're all brutal. They're not fun. I'm like looking for like Rodney Dangerfield-esque ones.
Paul just got back from Hawaii.
Boy, are his arms tired.
That's a good one.
what'd you do down there? Sorry, Sean.
No, it's okay.
wants to get the episode going. I'm just poking the bear.
Oh, man. I don't know. Stuff. Went to a volcano. Yes, okay. Did some hiking. Yeah. Saw some crevasses.
Remember when
I got diarrhea? Yeah.
Par for the course.
We talked
about when Wasp. Remember when Wasp was going to play at the volcano, but they were going to set it off for that movie?
Yeah. Okay. And the guy's guitar solo, actually caused a volcanic eruption. Remember when Blackie Lawless was wearing that like cod piece
with fireworks? That shot fireworks? Yeah. Mangled his balls.
Fucking metal.
I feel like we already talked about this on an episode with you two.
Because I would discuss more.
I'm actually sure of it.
I was about to ask why you two care so much about Wasp, and I'm pretty sure I asked that last time, and then I got yelled at about it, and now I was about to do it again. So we're doing Aquanoids this week. It's from 2003, and the only reason that we even know this exists, I believe, is because of Mr. Paul.
That is correct.
It actually came from the Walmart 550 bin. The reason it came into my hands is because I was doing keg stands at my brother's house in like 2004-ish. And somebody gave me a copy of Aquanoids. It was Tequila Steve to do keg stands. And then we watched the shit out of it.
All right. So before we go into the movie and how we would watch it in college, you brought up you were given it by a gentleman named Tequila Steve. can we talk about him for a second? Oh my God. Sean, okay. Sean, have you ever met Tequila Steve?
I did once. Yeah.
Okay. He used to funnel tequila, hence his name, Tequila Steve. He was kicked out of his dorm for drinking, in which he had a hearing. Because when you were in college, and it was the same for our college, we didn't go to the same college, but if you were like kicked out of your dorm for drinking, you had a chance to appeal it, and you went before like a board, and like they would hear your case, right? So he quote unquote hired his friend to be his lawyer.
Oh my
God. Showed up with a briefcase, and for 2 weeks before Steve refused to change his contact lenses, so they would just crust over and he couldn't open his eyes, so they were all puffy and swollen. And him and his friend slash lawyer pleaded insanity in front of the board. Yeah. In front of the board, they were trying to kick him. All they wanted to do was kick him off for like a weekend. He was caught drinking.
His lawyer showed up in a Hawaiian shirt. And he, I think he even got a doctor's note because his eyes actually got so bad that he needed a medication. And the medication, the doctor said, could actually make you lose your sense of smell. So when he pleaded insanity, he's like, I also couldn't see or smell anything. And he's also probably one of the smartest people we know. And his current job, he tests pharmaceutical drugs. He's like a scientist.
He's a scientist, and he also gives like seminars on coelacanths.
What the?
The ocean animal that they thought was extinct.
He also fell down a big hole. Spring weekend and broke his ankle. And then he was so drunk, he walked all the way home. And then next morning, he climbed off the top bunk and jumped down on his ankle.
Oh, like, oh fuck!
Screaming in pain. And nobody believed him. So he waited like 4 hours to drive to the hospital.
Dude, I broke my foot with Buzz. Well, I shouldn't say with Buzz. I mean, Buzz broke my fucking foot because we were playing like, you know, like fucking paw games, like we were like horsing around, and then he decided to come in and, you know, make it a personal matter, and we got into a fight, and then he broke my fucking foot. But I knew my fucking foot was broken. I was drunk as fuck, so I don't know how drunk you have to be to like not know it's broken. But everyone, same thing though, literally everyone was like, it's not fucking broken. And I was like, somebody please take me home, like I can't, like my foot is fucking broken. And I had to lay in a chair for like the rest of the night while everyone assumed I was, it was not broken. And then when I told them, they were like, holy shit.
So, fucking bozos.
Fucking.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, that group of people, if your bone was protruding, they would still argue that it wasn't broken.
Yeah, dude, especially if it was like one of their faults. I don't know. I should have taken out a fucking insurance claim on the fucking house.
Get a commit, so like, condemned.
So I couldn't play wiffle ball.
It was actually at this other fucking house. Let's not get into it. But anyway,
P house?
No, the mansion. No, wait, no, the mansion was
just my house.
No, the castle. They called it the castle, I think.
Okay. So fucking stupid.
Yeah, no, it was the fucking slummiest piece of shit I've ever seen in my life. They didn't have fucking doors. They fucking had, fucking Rick used fucking beads, like fucking 70s beads as a fucking door. He didn't have a fucking door.
Yeah, dude was probably getting so much.
And also, wait, let's talk about this. Rick, this is a rental property, and Rick was like, yeah, I'm going to fix it up. I'm going to build. He was going to build in a rental, build a room for Buzz in the basement. He was going to erect a room for Buzz in the basement.
Those guys, I never heard a group of people have more grandiose schemes of, like, construction plans when none of them have, like, even, like, wielded a hammer in their life, you know?
When they ask like, for...
I'm going to erect this fence here. No, you're not. Are you fucking kidding me?
They ask for help to install light bulbs. And I shouldn't say install. Change light bulbs.
Sean's not exaggerating. It was just because, like... Dude, they asked for help because it was like a stove one and not just like a typical light one. And they didn't know if it was like you needed something special or something different with that because it went on like the hood of the stove.
Oh my God. Anyway, so that's that. So, that was also
all because of Tequila Steve. Sorry.
That's also where Buzz sealed the deal with our friend Amy in a crawl space.
I don't know.
What? Fuck. Just deal with it, brother.
Anyway, Tequila Steve. Why? So he. I didn't realize that was the origin that he gave it to you while you were doing keg stands. I just know that it somehow ended up in our dorm room. Oh, that's right. That's right.
Yeah.
That's
right. And my brother got a photo of it and put it on a T-shirt. He gave it to my dad for Christmas. Dude, my dad's like, Jesus fucking Christ, Dave. Why would you give this to me on Christmas? What's wrong?
That's actually so brilliant. Yeah, because Paul abstained from alcohol for the first 3 years of college. And he would partake like once every full moon. But that's that time. And then I remember a time where... somebody threw their cell phone at your car for some reason. Do you remember that?
Oh my God. Yeah.
And they made him stand in the corner for the entire night, like the Blair Witch.
Oh my God. All right. Kid got such a tongue lashing. Why was he just gone home?
He wasn't given an option. He was forced to stand in that corner.
If people
were monitoring him.
If Jagenberg was there, he would definitely force it to happen. So,
oh, it was forced. It was definitely forced. But so that made it. This movie made its way into our dorm room, and for whatever reason, like this was probably like my sixth time watching Aquanoid.
That's painful.
It's crazy how much comes back to you, like when you start it.
Boating accident.
Dude, the mayor's lackey is one of the best characters. Like, everything I remembered was basically from that guy.
Dude. It's actually way more painful. It's way more painful than I remembered. I remembered it being, like, laugh out loud funny. I don't know why we watched it so many times.
Yeah, that's alarming.
Did you guys enjoy it, though?
No.
What about when he tells the mayor when he's like, hey, your daughter's a fine piece of ass. Don't tap
that. Like, fuck up. I mean, I remembered it. Like, my memory of it was that it was more over the top, and it's not. But the dialogue was way funnier than I remember. But it's also way more dialogue heavy than I remember. It's just people talking.
Well, yeah. I mean, so online, most of the reviews are like, oh, it's really bad, but at least there's like hot girls. And so I was expecting a ton of nudity. It's not even that. And I mean, yeah, the females are attractive, but like they were like, that's the only part worth watching. I was like, wait, what? Like, I started watching it and I was like, this is fucking terrible. Like... all around terrible.
I will say, budget,
like, yeah,
for how low budget it is, For how low budget it is, though, some of the gore on like the body is like when the back is ripped open, way better than it should be.
Yeah. Yes. But there's not enough of it, right? Like,
not enough of
it. It's not enough. The guy that plays the mayor is the cast is brutal, by the way. Most of them, this is their only credit. The guy that played the mayor, though, is Edwin Craig. And he's most notable for Rotelli in the first Batman, 89. He's the guy that says, "What's with that stupid grin?" before the Joker kills him.
Dude, imagine landing that and then, like, you know, showing all your friends and being like, "I fucking made it. I'm in Batman. Like, this movie's huge." And then fast forward, you know, 20 years later, you're in Awkwanoids.
Oh, man. And the guy, his lackey, Clint, is... you know what I will say? Outside of the leads, the younger leads, the mayor and Clint, the mayor's name is Frank, and Clint, they are honestly acting.
They are.
I don't know what that guy Clint is doing. Come on.
Dude, I think Clint's giving it his all. I think
Clint... He's the best guy, but he's not a good actor.
Well, that's true. That's true, but he's trying. He's fucking trying.
I agree with both of those. He definitely like takes acting seriously, which is impressive because he has to know he's in a movie called Awkwanoids, and he has to see the people that he's paired with, right? Like, I don't care. Like, I don't even know how to word it. Like, if I was in a movie like that, there's no way I would be giving it my all.
Zero.
I'd give up
zero
halfway through.
Zero fucking chance.
Well, I don't know if you guys are aware of this. That actor, his name's Ike Gingrich. He cornered the market on Noids movies because he's also in Demonoids. Oh. 3 years later.
Also, by cornering the market, Paul means one because I looked up his IMDb and that's the only other Noids movie he's in. He's in two Noids movies.
Maybe someone in more.
What I couldn't believe, though, Paul, about this whole thing is because I knew you had the DVD. I knew it was a staple of your guys' college. But like the fact that it was made in 2003 blew my mind because it's only a few years away from when you guys are watching
it. Yeah, and I can't believe it didn't get an HD transfer yet.
You know, with all the other shit that they make, why not?
It's only 1 year away from when we were watching, right? We watched it in 2004, right?
Yeah, it had BO4 05.
Yeah.
Because my Tequila Steve and my brother all graduated in 05.
That's right. Yeah.
Hopefully,
about that.
Hopefully no one could track down Tequila Steve. Paul, are you taking out the trash right now, or what are you doing?
I had two labats and I'm cracking a claw.
I just heard something banging around. It sounded like
you were... You know...
No laws with the claws.
I often say it on record whenever anybody asks me, like, what our favorite episodes were, like, to record. And the Creature Feature Roundtable will still be one of my favorites. I just love the fact that Paul sat with, like, his hands folded on his lap. Like, astute. Like, the best posture I've ever seen with anybody. Until you start recording. And he's just fucking drumming on his knees. Crinkling up paper.
Well, I'm excited for today too. This will be a good one, I think. We are definitely going to talk over each other because we are not. So, warning. I mean, you already know. You definitely already fucking know. But just a warning, because we're all remote, we can't see each other. So, kind of a.
It's weird, like how just one other person changes that. Cause I was thinking that before, like you and I don't know if it's just because of we do it so often that right. We're just like used to each other's like flow and cadence, because I don't really feel that I'm about to talk over you when it's just us. But then like tonight, like I have no clue when to talk. It's like really weird.
It is definitely a different experience. So we'll do our best, you know, next time we should probably all just be on a video chat.
Or just do it in person.
That would probably make a lot more sense. Hey, speaking of doing it in person, Limp Bizkit Thursday. Who's excited?
Yeah, let's go. Is Paul coming?
No.
The, Does Sam play drums? I mean, get real.
Sam, wait, John Otto plays the drums. No.
Stop it.
Yo, Sam is the bass fuck player.
Is Sam, the bass player?
Yeah, Sam's the bass player.
I guess I'm not going then.
All right. Do we want to kick off Aquanoids here, guys?
Let's go.
Might as fucking well. All right. So we open with just this really bizarre credit sequence. And the most bizarre lovemaking scene, if you even want to call it that. I don't even know what's fucking happening. And they're kind of naked in the water, but kind of not. And it was just insane. And the night filter that they used was fucking, first of all, didn't cover the entire screen. Did you notice that?
I did not.
Listen, there are a ton of gaps in this movie.
Listen, there is like 10% of the screen at the top that's normal colored, and the rest is like this filter that they must have used in post to make it look like, which made it just look like dog shit. Like, it just looked awful. It just darkened it, but they forgot like the top 10% of the screen. So you can see that it's like a super sunny, beautiful day out, and then this filter is just covering the other 90% of the screen. So
wait,
Sean,
I just have one question I want to ask real quick to Ernie Derillis again. Paul, do you still own this on DVD?
I do not.
Oh, you got rid of it?
Yeah.
You're not one to get rid of DVDs. What did you end up doing with it?
I gave it back to Tequila Steve. I didn't want it.
But when did you give it back to him? Because you had it for like that whole college year.
Yeah, I think when he graduated, he's like, hey, man, can I get Aquanoids back?
What?
Oh, he asked for it back?
I know.
Okay. Motherfucker. Yeah, because I was going to ask because I would have been, I mean, it sounds like it wasn't your choice. You were asked it, but like, you destroyed the copy of Dead Body Man upon the first viewing.
We stabbed it with a knife.
I mean, that's extreme. What? Dead Body Man is not that much worse than Aquanoids.
I don't know about that. I don't know.
I think it is much worse. It's just like, it's so much like sleazier. The audio is terrible. That effect in the end is fucking unbelievable.
That effect in the end was probably better than any of.
Nobody should have seen it after that.
It's not that much worse than Aquanoids. That's all I'm going to say. Aquanoids is not in like a different level than that. Like, yeah, the sound's better, but.
Guys,
literally, there's a video and audio. That's half of it. It's fucking miserable.
No, the audio in Dead Body Man is only miserable for that one scene where they're in like an AA meeting and they put the boom mic in a different room.
Dude, and the people in it are repulsive. Like the prostitute cuts up in the beginning.
Here's my question. Wait. Okay, so I was going to ask if we did Dead Body Man for the show.
We did.
We did not. We did a live stream of us watching Dead Body Man.
Okay.
In 2017. We did it
at Paul's house. We did it at Paul's house.
Also, this Saturday, we are celebrating 2 years and 100 episodes with a live stream of us watching the infamous Dead Body Man. It's not infamous, only to us.
Nobody else.
Wait, so didn't we release as an episode? Like we talked about it as it was playing.
I searched it. It doesn't come up.
That's nuts. It's
what a waste of time. Well, here's what I'm thinking. I think we should redo the live stream. What do you mean?
I'm in. I'm in.
You know, I still own the I still have a digital copy of Dead Body Man. No.
Don't answer that.
No, I did pay for the DVD. Dude, I paid like $30 for the DVD. And then I gave it away.
Fucking destroy it. I mean, I'm down to redo it.
I think we should. I really think we should. I'm trying to pull up. I hope I still have it. I hope I didn't delete it. But I have the two videos I've saved are the Dead Body Man video and then this weirdo doing a voiceover to to Nightmare on Elm Street's intro.
His name start with a T?
Yeah, Tony. I feel like I should probably re-release that also, but.
Oh man, that's good. That's good.
I mean, that.
Paul, get Slattery on the phone for Dead Body Man.
Dude, when I opened Duo, it showed like it's like, hey, you can connect with 38 people on Duo, and he was one of them. and I actually thought to myself, I was like, how fucking funny would it be if we made a group and I invited him? I was thinking about that and Grigley.
Oh my god.
Those.
What, Paul, did you hear our... I'm sorry for the fans, by the way. This is just going to be like a rehash of like college stuff.
Listen, but, it's our first time back with Paul. Like, yeah. We're excited for this.
Yeah. Paul, did you hear our episode on... What was it, Joe? It was the skateboarding movie, Rad.
Yeah, Rad.
Oh yeah, when you didn't know how to, when you kept saying Rodney Mullins.
Okay, well, all right, take
it. Or Thrashing. It could have been Thrashing.
Oh no, it's Thrashing. It's Thrashing. Rad was the BMX one.
Yeah.
That Intel. God bless you, Intel. Love you. Because Intel loves Rad.
Yeah, he does.
Thrashing. It was Thrashing. So yes, where I was screwed up, Rodney Mullen. Mullen.
M-U-L-L-E-N, bro.
Mullen. But, like, I feel like when you say it, you have to say it.
Paul's entire beef is just that you added a plural, like an S to it.
It lasted for, like, 4 days. Getting abused by Paul about it.
Well, it stuck with me a lot longer.
Anyway, the point of all this is, do you remember us talking about Adam in it?
Oh, Peg Dick?
No, yeah, well, yeah,
no.
That too, but
wait, we talked about him.
I mentioned it briefly in Rad, yes, but you didn't want to elaborate any further. I think I just shouted him out.
Did you refer to him as Peg Dick?
I think I said, hey, remember Peg Dick? And I think Joe didn't want to tread there and was like. A guy that had sex with his peg.
Allegedly.
Adam, how we would talk about Adam doing that like 40-yard stare at parties. He would just be so drunk he would stand in the corner and like wink at like a camera that didn't exist.
Breaks the fourth wall in real life.
He'd look past you and like wink at something behind you, and there was never anything there. It was like a camera that only he saw.
Yeah, it was like Jim at the office, you know, makes a comment and then just like looks to the distance for like approval, you know.
Dude. In this case, it turns out Jim is just stupid.
Dude, it was like maybe he's evidence that it's we're all living in a simulation.
It's a simulation?
He's the only one that knows where the cameras are. When he gets drunk, he gains a superpower to see where the cameras are.
His third eye opens.
The people at home are like, holy shit, did that guy just look at us? Like, what the fuck? He's not supposed to know we're here. Does he know? And they're like, no, he doesn't. He just takes good guesses.
That's good.
Oh, fuck. Anyway, so Aquanoids. Both of those people are murdered, right? They're both
killed. In the water, yeah. I love how much this is just essentially Jaws, right?
Oh, my God. I couldn't believe that they went that route with it.
It's like almost scene for scene.
It's the exact same.
Dude, it's actually nuts. And it's also crazy because they bring up Jaws later in the movie and somebody's like, that fucking movie. It's like, wait, what? Dude, bringing in the mayor to Aquanoids was the funniest shit.
Dude, hilarious, right?
I could not believe it. But then I got super frustrated with the fact that everyone started talking about Aquanoids before the audience knew what a fucking Aquanoid was. Everyone's like, oh, it looks like a fucking Aquanoid. And you're like, wait, what?
Dude, that opening scene takes place, we didn't mention, it takes place in 1987.
Yes.
That's something that comes on the screen. And you're 100% right. The audience has not seen, like, for all we know at this point, it's just like a shark, right? Or like an eel or something. And everyone's like, oh god, the Aquanoids are back. Dude, if I knew that there was a monster called an Aquanoid, like, why does anybody live there? Like, just pack up and leave. And then they give a number, it's like 38 people died that year from the Aquanoids. That's a fucking problem. Fuck out of there.
Dude, and we get the 16 years later across the screen, and then like
this. Which, by the way, bothers me. That bothers me. Like, why couldn't you just do like 15 or 20 or 10? Like, make it like any like even semblance of a significant anniversary.
Yeah, but
that's fine. They lie to us. But Aquanoids didn't actually come in 1987.
Hold on. Are you guys really not going to mention the fact that there's a guy wearing a denim shirt with binoculars being a peeping Tom?
Okay.
What the fuck is wearing a denim shirt?
You mean...
Dude, the faces that he's making while the people are being murdered is so funny. And he doesn't once, like, yell out to them or, like... Or even attempt to react other than, like, double-taking at the camera and looking through the binoculars.
All right. I might have a hot take. Is that guy the best actor in this movie?
No. Old Man Jackson.
All right. Let me ask you a question. Do you think he's legitimately junk later on in this film? Sorry.
Yes.
Probably.
Yes, for sure. For sure. He was probably, like, method acting.
Because if he's not... I was like, that's great.
Fucking method acting for Aquanoids.
Dude, first of all, they call him Old Man Jackson throughout it, and I was so confused, and I was like, that's not Old Man Jackson, is it? Because, like, you know, old man, you expect... They talk about Old Man Jackson a ton. Because this guy's, like, 47 years old.
Yeah, he never aged.
And he never aged from 86 or whatever to 2003. But no, that 16 years later, Joe, I agree with you. I was actually pissed off about it because at the end, they're like, they mention it. They're like, boy, 16 years later. And I was like, why 16? Like, what the fuck is that?
Yeah. And to Paul's point, if they were like adamant on just making it the year that they were filming it in 2003, just change the original fucking date. You don't need it to be 1987 to make it. In 1983, we go 30 years later, they're back, you know? Like, it's not that fucking hard.
After the 16 years later credit, they give us a seizure-inducing montage of July 4th parades that no one... Dude, the cuts on this... Honestly, like, I don't think I would mind this as much if the editing was done by anyone that wasn't fucking on acid or whatever the fuck, whatever the fuck was happening in this. Because... there's cuts in this that you're just like, what? Dude, like a super close-up of her kicking her kickstand out. And then later, a super close-up of a guy buffing his boat, like walking by and being like, ugh. And then like fucking spit shining one little spot. And like,
there's also three motor scooter montages.
Dude, yes. When she gets off the jet ski and hops on a motor scooter, I was like, are you fucking kidding me right now?
I also love that she waits to put on the life preserver before taking off.
Dude, that, yes.
Imminent danger.
I agree with that. So who we're talking about is Vanessa, who we meet right now, who is fucking the cop, the hot cop, who's like 60 years old. That's okay. Vanessa's like 24, maybe. And she is she's some type of environmentalist. We don't really know what she is. Maybe nothing, but she certainly cares about snorkeling and picking up shells to bring to the mayor and be like, look at all this fucking mercury, as if she could see it. It was like coating the fucking shells. Does anyone fucking swim in jeans more than this woman?
Dude, I would be like, that stuff bothers me. Like when you get your jeans, or like, I know socks is like an easy go-to, but going swimming in jeans like irks me out.
Dude. So my biggest issue with the most recent, I don't know why I'm thinking about this, with the most recent season of fucking Stranger Things is there are so many fucking scenes. There's like four or five scenes.
Dude, not drying off?
Yes. They're soaking wet and putting on clothes. It's the most insane thing I've ever seen in my life. I've never seen anything so disgusting. I wanted to fucking throw up. Dude, everyone's just getting dressed fucking soaking wet. I've never seen anything like it. Fucking David Harbour fucking wet as shit putting on clothes, sticking to his disgusting body. Is that his name, David Harbour?
Yeah, that's him.
Don't you body shame my guy, David Harbour?
Yeah, don't even get me started on that, because like women are like, oh, I love David Harbour's body. Well, listen, I'm right here, guys. Dude, like,
dad bods are on the comeback.
They're not. They are when they're on TV.
He's the best Hellboy.
He is the best Hellboy.
He was in Hellboy.
I wasn't expecting that. He's the new Hellboy.
Holy shit. Remember when Amato went to the old one's dick?
Wait, Paul, you have to elaborate on the story.
No, I don't. We literally looked at his dick.
Wait, what?
At a horror convention in the bathroom.
He looked at David Harbour's dick?
No, Ron Perlman.
Oh, fuck. I was about to say I hate Ron Perlman.
You get white hair? white flat top?
Hey, do you remember Ron Perlman as Beauty and the Beast?
I do. Yeah. I don't know who you're asking, but yes, I do. He was not Lumineer. What? The candlestick? He was the fucking beast.
Of course he was the beast. He's anything that's a lion.
The prosthetic department. Yeah, the prosthetic department never had it easier, dude.
It's fucking funny as fuck. His face is just awful. Awful.
And he looks like the cowardly lion at all times.
All right. We promised to talk about me shitting my pants, but we don't have to. Paul, did you see my text, Paul?
Yeah, I ignored it.
I don't know why. Paul, it was insane.
Wasn't it a picture of wet pants with shit in them?
No. Well, sort of. No.
That's 1,000% what that was.
No. First of all, guys, we if you want the real access, you got to follow us on Instagram at I Hate Horror and join our friend Reagan's giveaway. But also, you could get content like teases about me maybe shitting my pants.
All my comments.
So, I see him come in and then she just doesn't respond. I had to be like, hey, this is Paul. Don't worry about anything he says. Because Paul will be like, oh, this sounds like a fucking piece of shit idea. And I'm like, oh my God.
Listen, I am down for it. And if you guys need anything else to give away, I have handmade custom Limp Bizkit pottery.
He does. One piece. I've seen it.
It's a one of one.
One of one? I would probably rather just buy it from you and keep it.
Well, you can have it, my friend.
I'm Limp Bizkit.
But it's not exclusively Limp Bizkit. It's Korn and Deftones.
Not as big of a Deftones fan, but definitely Korn and Limp Bizkit, I'm fine.
Oh, are you kidding me?
Is there a POD, POD on there?
Have you heard around the fur? Oh, Jesus Christ.
Payable upon death? No, payable on death, right?
One of them is the South Town.
I couldn't tell if you were doing Southtown or Mudvayne's bassline at the beginning of Dig.
Anyway. These guys are so idiotic looking.
Wait,
we're still talking about awkward noise, aren't we?
We are, but wait, can I just... Wait, you said the bassist was idiotic looking?
Yeah, dude.
No, he was fine. The guitarist was the problem.
Sean.
The guy with the
fucking bugles?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, Sean, have you seen the bassist lately? Mudvayne. Sean, watch the dig music. That bassist should have been locked away after that video.
Dude, remember when they showed up to the MTV Music Awards?
What? No.
With bullet holes in their heads and their foreheads?
Oh, yeah. That was sick, though.
Yeah. Give them some respect.
I like the dig. I like the Mudvayne bassist. I think he's great. Dude, the bugle face is way worse.
I'm not knocking his ability to play the bass. He just looks like a fucking idiot. And to be fair, so does idiot bugle face. So.
No, bugle face is way worse. Oh, man. Remember Hell Yeah?
No. Yeah, Buzz loved those
guys. So much. So fucking much.
Wait, what was their big song? Because that was Mudvayne and Vinny, right? Mudvayne,
yes. Vinny. Yeah. Vinny Paul and Mudvayne. I think there was other people, too, that were in it. Oh, fuck.
Wait, was Rob Halford's guitar player their singer?
No, that's Damage Plan.
But Damage Plan was also part of this.
Well, no, Hell Yeah formed after Damage Plan broke up because
Dimebag
died.
Got you.
Damage Plan was kind of sweet.
I mean, they're all
right. Remember that song, Fuck You, with Corey Taylor?
I do.
Paul,
that's kind of dope.
Joe, I think the song that he loved was Hell Yeah by Hell Yeah. Which is always a baller move to name a song after the band.
What was the big hit that
they had? Alcohol and Ass.
That was the song that Buzz loved. That was the song that Buzz loved because they had alcohol on the title.
Yes, of course.
But what was their fucking like radio single?
Their singles were You Wouldn't Know.
Oh yeah, is that the one that's like even if you wanted to?
I think so.
You couldn't be me even if you wanted to.
I think yeah.
That's what I'm thinking of. That's them.
And then they had a ballad, Thank You, which
yeah, that's right. Hell yeah, sucks.
All right. Well. So we just met Vanessa, our thought.
What a segue.
Hell yeah, sucks. She picks up snorkels. She goes to pick up some shells, and she encounters an aquanoid, but escapes via jet ski and then via scooter across town, which we have to watch in its entirety. including her kicking out her kickstand, which is a cutaway scene. Cut to her kicking out her kickstand, cut back to her running into the mayor's office. So, a great use of time and fucking film. She runs, we meet the mayor, who we don't really know is the mayor until later. They just call him Frank. Like, no one shows this guy any fucking respect whatsoever. No one's like, Mr. Mayor. They're just like, Frank.
That's more realistic, man. That's just good writing.
Okay. Paul the apologist, the Aquanoid's apologist. She runs to the mayor and tells him to close the beaches. Dude, I still can't believe that they used the Jaws thing for Aquanoids. Like, dude, piranhas, I get, like, it's a fish. You know what I mean? If you go with the fish orca, I get, you know what I mean? Like... But like a monster, a fucking monster. And the fact that everyone knows that the monster exists and they're all like, hey, listen, shut the fuck up. It's fucking amazing. And the mayor says maybe it was an oversized fish. Which, that's the end of that. She leaves.
She's probably the most reasonable, you know, conclusion you could draw.
I agree with that. I mean, if they all didn't know that they existed, that would be...
a fucking aquanoid. Yeah. But, well, all right, wait. What is an aquanoid? Let me ask you in your own words.
Well, that's the upsetting part. We'll never know because they don't ever show us.
Well, you get a glimpse of it, and it's like a merman.
They say it's a half man, half fish.
I think it was the zombie that bit the shark.
Paul, what?
From Fulci.
Oh, God. Okay. Cool.
It's all ragged looking. Ragged bone man.
All right. Well, after she leaves, Clint lets us know that we have a problem by screaming, Frank, we got a goddamn fucking problem.
We got a goddamn fucking problem.
These actors are just going so balls to wall. I love every scene that they're in. It's so insane. It's so insane. And they're both wearing the most ill-fitting suits of all time. The fucking Clint's pants and belt. He's got his belt on like the 37th hole. It's like wrapped around his back. Fucking ridiculous. Also, they're destroying the ocean because of this shopping center that they want to build, which... I wrote that note before I knew that they'd never talk about it again. We get random close-up shots of more weird shit. Surfer guy.
Nipple piercings.
Fucking nipple piercings. How about we meet this surfer who I expected to live longer just because of the amount of screen time he gets right now, but he dies instantly. But he brings a phone into the ocean to surf, and
that was incredible. I was trying to like look at it while I was floating away, because like was that a thing during that time? Because cell phones were pretty new to me in 2003.
For sure,
I know they were around longer, but for me at least, like people that I knew, we didn't have them really before we went off to college, and our first year was 2003. I definitely would not have anything to bring it into the water with, or know of how to. Like obtain a waterproof cell phone.
That was like the most bizarre part to me. I did the same thing as you. I waited to get like a close up and be like, and I was like, holy shit, that looks like it might be an actual phone that like you can bring into the water. Which I would never have even imagined in 2003. Like the technology in aquanoids is unbelievable, guys. It's
cutting edge. Yeah.
But my favorite part is he like tucks it away in his pants, like probably for emergencies. So you're like, oh, that'll come into play.
No, not for emergencies.
Well, I know that.
He takes it with just so he can call that girl and he's like, guess where I am? And she's like, the beach. And he's like, yeah, gotta catch a wave. Dude, 6 miles later.
He hasn't swam at all. He's literally just put the surfboard in the water and sat on it and immediately starts making fucking house calls to people.
And then hangs up on
them. Be like, dude, that's such a fucking baller move to call a woman on 2003 on your cell phone just to be like, hey, I gotta go. Because that's essentially what he does. He's like, hey, what's up? And she's like, nothing. He's like, all right, gotta go. I'm surfing. Oh, man. And then he immediately starts getting groped by an aquanoid, which was
with a Freddy Krueger glove.
My favorite part, because this guy's, the aquanoid's just like feeling him up. Like, you see the aquanoid's hand, it's very clear. And he calls 911 and he's just yelling, shark. What? Like, you're looking at this hand touching you. Like, how do you think that's a shark? But he's dead. He's fucking dead. Oh, man. Love it. Vanessa then recruits Christina, who I don't know what she does either, but she has harpoons in her fucking house. Vanessa walks in and is like, we gotta fucking... Oh, and Christina's like, fucking this guy. And she's like, we gotta go. And then they leave. And that's the fucking end of that. And then we repeat the first scene of them just swimming. They do take a picture of some aquanoids. She takes a picture of the aquanoid's hand and then also a very clear picture of the aquanoid's face.
Yeah. Very, very important.
Well, is it important? Because later when she sees the mayor, she only hands him the picture of the fucking hand.
Yeah, it's the dumbest fucking thing.
And he's like, I need more evidence. And she's like, well, I don't have any.
I don't have the one. This I didn't print the fucking photo of its face.
I just went with his hand. I thought the hand would be
like roping surfers.
Good enough. And the Aquanoid comes and almost gets them, but they escape again. Same shit. Same shit from the beginning of the movie.
Yeah. All right, let's go to another scooter montage.
Yeah. We then meet a couple new cops who are out to kill the big fish, I guess, that they believe is terrorizing the town, which is fucking insane because it's a big fish. What the fuck would a big fish do?
Do you remember that movie?
Big Fish?
Yeah.
I never saw it.
With Matthew McGrory?
Yeah, still, I never saw
Rufus it. Firefly?
Came out the same year, though. Who do you think got more award nods, Big Fish or Aquanoids in 2003?
Are we counting Razzies?
I mean, there's no way the Razzies would even waste their time on Aquanoids.
Hey, can we... Wait,
that's why the Razzies suck. You know? They're going to fucking bang Freddy Got Fingered, but they won't give Aquanoids any love.
Listen, that's... Wait, did we not talk about that on the show recently, Joe?
About...
That the Razzies are kind of bullshit because they don't actually find the shittiest movies. They find, like, the best shitty movies.
Correct. Yeah. It's bullshit.
Pisses me off. Yeah. Well, that's what the standees are for, right?
Let's bring them back.
Bring back the standees. I think 2022 is the year of the standees return.
All right, we'll do it in person.
Yeah, in person.
Chili's is back with no masks.
Potentially out of Chili's. Yeah, no, we should definitely bring back the fucking standees.
Are Chili's still BYOB?
There has never been a time where Chili's were BYOB. they sell fucking, their thing is like selling margaritas. They're not gonna let you bring in your fucking booze.
Maybe I'm thinking of Red Lobster.
Yeah, put it to. I don't think any national chain wants people bringing in alcohol.
Real quick off topic. I was showing Shay Weird Al videos like all night long, and she was like loving them and cracking up. Do you remember when Forrest Gump came out, everyone was like, this is like cutting edge. I can't believe they put Forrest like in a clip with Richard Nixon. It looks so real. Do you remember that? Then in Weird Al's Gump video, the fucking idiot that's playing Gump is literally they did the same thing with the same technology. Like, just completely diminished like Hollywood's achievement and just putting it in their music video, this fucking idiot.
I actually remember that vividly, like that they were able to do that. And Weird Al's like fucking like special effects are unbelievable.
They really are.
Dude, the fucking fat video.
Oh fuck. I'm bleeding profusely out of my nose. Hold on a second.
Wait, what?
I have a terrible nosebleed.
Pussy. Dude, you know who got the worst nosebleeds?
Who?
Canuck John.
Oh yeah, he did.
Dude, I remember. Dude, I like Irish whipped him at Greg's house over flipped over a couch and he hit his face on a stair stepper. And he split for like 2 days
straight. Dude, he was like notorious for like getting hurt always.
All the time.
Like, he was always, like, wrong. Dude, one time Rick threw a fucking quarter from, like, a fucking 100 yards away. No way it would ever fucking hit him. And it somehow, like, bounced off the ground and then off a car and hit him right in the fucking face.
Dude, I used to go to Greg's house all the time. We would go over. We would listen to the Adam Sandler CDs, and then we just play WCW versus NWO, the world.
Oh, yeah.
Or WCW, NWO versus the world.
Great fucking game. It was
the best. And then we just brawl, and then Miriam and Thule would come over. It's fucking, it was great.
Dude, Greg loved that Adam Sandler CD, the one with all the singing, the fucking terrible one. It was all like legitimate songs after What the Hell Happened to You.
Yeah, that CD sucks. It's
it's terrible.
Oh, dude, that was like, I remember that so vividly. He liked that. Like, and also, Paul, the fact that you're saying that, what year was that?
Dude, I feel like it was when the Tollbooth Willie album and the GOAT, when that came out, I feel like we were upstairs. We might have even been in Julie's room listening to it, because he, I don't even think he had a CD player. It was like so...
It is called like, What's Your Name? What's Your Name?
What's Your Name? 97, right?
Yeah.
Dude, Greg got it the day it came out, because I remember me and Matt Pediscalzo like walked to his house somehow.
Dude, they live so far from you.
Because they live by Doolittle. Me and Matt Pediscalzo and Brian, we walked there from, because we cut through like the high school. I vividly remember it.
My buddy Fabio, which yes was a child's name, stole both They're All Gonna Laugh at You and What the Hell Happened to Me for me. He stole them for himself from Cheshire Video and Disc, and then I was like, oh, man. I was like, I wish I had those, and he was like, yeah, hang on, and went and stole both for me.
Oh, and while I was attending to my nosebleed, I heard you talking about how John always got hurt.
Yeah.
Remember we were at Oslin's grad party?
Oh, my God. The Bubbles?
And Rick... Was that what it was? It was Bubbles, not a salt shaker?
Yeah, it was the Bubbles.
All right. But Paul, it was a thing of bubbles, you know, like the little canisters that like the stick goes in and you blow the bubbles out. Yeah. Rick threw that from like, I don't like giving Rick athletic credit because he's a clown, but Rick threw that from so far away, so fast. And like a perfect line, because they were giving him shit for leaving early, being like, oh, you fucking pussy, you can't booze, you can't party. And Rick just goes, you know, and I distinctly remember being like, yeah. And Rick just turning around and going, you guys are supposed to be my friends. And just whipped the can of bubbles like a half a mile away, and it just drilled Miriam, who was sitting with his back towards everything, like eating a sandwich. So he had no clue it was coming. It just fucking dropped him.
Dude, he was always in the line of fire. It was so insane. It was so insane.
I remember I saw U.S. Marshals in theaters, and like Greg and like Miriam picked me up with like their dad. Well, their dad was obviously driving. And we saw U.S. Marshals, and that was, like, the first movie ever where I predicted the ending. I leaned over, and I was like, you guys know Robert Downey Jr. is going to be the bad guy, right?
Yeah. Good old Paul.
Yeah. Back in the day, before I was telling Joe to smear goose shit on himself and telling him that Carl doesn't die at the end of Die Hard, he comes back.
Way too young to know that, by the way.
Yeah, we were like,
what? Not to smear goose shit on yourself at the end of Die Hard.
No. Look, dude, give Joe a fucking break. That fucking pond is fucking disgusting. It should be shut down.
Oh, mixed bill?
Yeah. And also,
My dad swims in it like every day.
Is that true? Is that true?
Yeah. Nobody loves mixed bill more.
Wait.
He texted me right when we started recording, said, turn on History Channel at 10. They're going to be at a John Deere factory that I've been to.
Wait, Paul, I have to circle back. Your dad goes recreationally swimming in Mixville, like on his own accord?
Dude, Gary's the biggest swim fan ever. He was the captain of his swim team.
We have a town pool now.
You think he wants to come there where kids are peeing? No, we'd rather be where the fucking...
Where the goose shit?
Paul, I have never, to this day, been anywhere where there's more leeches and snapping turtles.
Dude, do you know how much my dad hates people, though?
I do, but...
He's such an old curmudgeon. Like, he loves that place... seeing you guys, and then he motherfucks everybody else. And then he told me when I was on... my fucking honeymoon that he was disowning me, because I told him I was driving a Bronco, and I said, and he goes, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, well, it's a shit box. And he's like, that's the boy. And then when I saw him, the first thing he said was that Bronco really a shit box? And I was like, it's all right.
Dude, at your wedding, me, Sean, and Mike were standing around. I don't remember if you were there, but your dad came over and he's like, Mike, do you remember the last time I saw you? And Mike just immediately goes, yeah, I was wearing Homer Simpson slippers and your dad, and you threatened to break both my legs if I ever wore them around him again.
You threatened to hit me with the fucking lead pipe if I ever wore them again. And your dad was like, because like there's like people around, you know, and he's like, I actually remember seeing you at a guest or a Wendy's in Southington. And Mike revealed that him and your dad didn't even speak at the Wendy's. Your dad just saw him at a Wendy's because he was working nearby.
Dude, remember Mike's price of boys.
Mike was like, I didn't see him. We didn't speak. He was at the same Wendy's as I was. And that was the last time your dad claims he saw Mike.
Dude, Gary is the biggest Charles fan also.
That's insane. That's fucking nuts.
And he hates everybody else.
Do you see the new Bronco is a fucking Jeep, by the way?
Excuse me.
So fucking the car cast. The new Bronco is basically a fucking Jeep.
Yeah, it's like driving a fucking square.
All right. Just tell your dad.
Trust me, you don't want me to tell him that. He'll probably find you.
I'm not even gonna say it.
Dude, right. Did you guys talk to Robin at the wedding?
No, we didn't know who he was.
Nah.
You didn't see him. See the wily guy with long gray hair with a gun on him.
I didn't see him, dude.
Have you seen? Why didn't you sit him?
What? Yeah. Why didn't you sit him with my dad?
Why did I sit him with your dad?
Why didn't you?
Probably because Robin probably would have shot somebody.
Dude, if Robin found out, I can't say it on the radio. Fuck. Never mind. I can't make that fucking joke.
I hugged him when he said he was leaving. Felt his gun. I was like, Jesus Christ, dude. Are you serious?
Where was it? Under his armpit? Like, was he wearing the shoulder holsters?
Yes. Because when I told my dad, he was like, yeah, he's wearing a shoulder holster. So he goes down. Like, I felt that inside. Well, you know the story? He wore three, apparently, to his own wedding.
Remember when Paul was like,
you never know, you gotta be prepared.
Joe, do you remember in one of our early episodes was when Paul was like, don't talk about fucking Robin?
Yeah, I was like, delete it, dude.
Alright, we gotta finish up fucking Aquanoids.
Yeah.
Hey, everyone that complains about us, fucking deal with it. Alright, so the surfer's dead, right?
Yes.
Vanessa's recruited Christina. They're now taking photos. We got cops. We got cops going to hunt the big fish. And the cop tells the other scuba diving cop, make it a fucking headshot for me. As if this fucking large fish has done anything, which it hasn't. They find the dead missing surfer, though. Scuba diver gets massacred. And he pops out of the water with fucking strawberry jam all over his face. I fucking hate. I hate when fake blood has like clumps in it.
Yeah, and it was only on his eyes.
Excuse me?
What?
What does that have to do with anything? His fucking eyes.
Why was there only clumps of blood on his eyes?
Oh, that's a good point. I don't know. Why does later in the movie the woman grab this guy by the dick and he's bleeding out of his eyes? Eyeballs.
You ever squeeze somebody by the hammer so hard it bled?
Calling it a hammer. We cut to an autopsy scene that's out of fucking control. This coroner is a fucking they portray him as like a wackadoo at first, but then like is very mild mannered throughout the rest of the movie. So that was kind of weird. Because, like, the fucking Clint starts vomiting all over the place because the guy starts eating a sandwich.
Just on the body.
Dude, the guy has no problem with this guy pulling out, like, the liver and shit, but as soon as the guy takes a bite out of his sandwich, Clint fucking throws up all over the fucking body.
Fair, it was disgusting.
Yeah, dude, I don't know if I've ever told this story on here, but when John, our friend John T, ate the rotten pumpkin.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, he took... We were in my... I had an apartment. I had a pumpkin in there. He lifted it and the bottom fell out because it was fucking rotten. Didn't look it, though. Fucking disgusting. It smelled awful. And I fell to my knees and I was gagging. I was like, we got to get rid of that. And he picked up the fucking rotten piece and fucking took a bite out of it.
Yo, that's the same kind of shit I'd pull.
Dude. Paul made me barf. Because we left milk in the fridge when we went on winter break, and when we came back, you know, it was obviously, you know, a curdled piece of shit.
Yeah,
and like he opened it was like, smell it. Like I was already like dry heaving and gagging, and then Paul sticks his fingers in it and like pulls out one. I'm gonna throw up right now. And, like pulled out the chunk and just popped it in his mouth.
Oh no. No.
Oh, man. I fucking barfed, dude.
Dude, that's what happened to me. John ate the piece of pumpkin, and I just fucking started throwing up all over the fucking floor.
I even told my dad that Paul did that.
At one point in my life,
my dad was like,
bite out of a sandwich that was in the trash locker.
No, Paul. I actually just like, I almost got sick. Dude, you can't fucking say that shit. That shit turns my stomach.
Yeah, I think Mike gave me like $2, so like, why would I not?
I don't, $2? You did that for $2? Dude, you could have fucking died.
Yeah, but back then we didn't have jobs, dude. $2 was a lot.
I want to fucking be sick. Oh my god, anyway. Autopsy scene, guy vomits. They're like, hey, coroner, what's the ruling of his death? And the coroner goes, yeah, that's an aquanoid attack. Honestly, it felt like a Tim and Eric movie at that moment. Like, it really felt like Tim and Eric had made this movie because it was so insane. That's an aquanoid attack. And they were like, don't you fucking say that. And they told him to write it off, right?
Yeah, it's a boating accident.
A boating accident. Yeah, and we know that because he screams boating accident.
Saturday Night Live when Will Ferrell has voice modulation? Yes. That's exactly how that guy delivers that line.
The boating accident line was bizarre because they're like, hey, write it off as a boating accident. And he's like, I'm not going to do that. And then they're like, okay, well, then just make them disappear. Right? And the guy's like, fine, which is, by the way, a way worse thing. He's committing a way worse crime by calling it, like, just by making the body disappear. But then, so that makes less sense that the guy walking out of the room screams boating
accident
in his fucking face.
Do you remember I texted that to you last week?
I do. And when I saw it, I laughed because I was like, of course, that's the line that he probably went around college screaming at people.
Nope. There is another line in this movie.
Oh, shit.
There's another one.
I also love this scene because they're talking about those extreme close-ups. This is just an extreme close-up of the coroner drinking liquor. That's it. That's just a close-up that we had to be subjected to. Anyway, the crony and his mayor, they're walking down the streets. They see the mayor's daughter. And for some reason, the crony says, as Paul was said before, your little girl's looking fine. You still porking her? Which is
an all-timer.
The most bizarre thing I've ever heard in my life. And then the mayor's like, ha ha ha, you son of a bitch.
Almost sounds like Arnold.
And that's the end of the scene. That's the end of that fucking scene. Is he porking his daughter?
Little girl's looking mighty fine. You still porking her?
Do you think he's porking his daughter?
No.
I do not. No.
Is this a serious question?
I mean, I don't know. Anyway, we get 10 scenes of this fucking news reporter and the mayor and Vanessa. And this is when they, like, start thinking that they're an actual movie and can talk about shit. They say nothing in all of these scenes. Hey, Paul, you okay over there?
Fuck was that?
Paul, dude, Paul's fucking cooking over it. Paul's fucking ratatouille-ing over there.
Dude, I cried during Ratatouille. It's one of the most beautiful films of all time.
Is that... What? Is that true?
Have you motherfuckers seen Ratatouille?
Yeah, it's probably the only Disney movie I didn't cry at.
Fucking kidding me? You stupid or something?
Did you cry at Monsters, Inc.?
Why the fuck would I do that? I'm opening my sixth drink, but it's a claw, so it's okay.
Paul, how was that opening a claw? A claw is all you have to do. Me and Joe just heard fucking dishes falling and fucking a kitchen falling apart.
To be fair, I did have two before I started this six.
Okay.
What? I had to get home.
It doesn't explain the fucking all that noise we just heard.
What the fuck was all that noise?
Hey, just mind your fucking business, all right? About to drive in your house, Joe.
Anyway.
Literally, I'll crash in your porch if I try to drive.
Alright, we don't condone drunk driving.
Which is why I'm not doing it.
Thank you, Paul. Jesus Christ. So we get the news reporter, he's interviewing the mayor and Vanessa, and they're all rehashing the same stories we already know. The mayor being like, nothing's happening, and Vanessa being like, shut down the fucking beaches. Which, side point, how much time was spent with Vanessa printing out flyers? We didn't even talk about it. Like... There's probably like 15 minutes of her handing out flyers and printing them.
There is.
There's a scene where the other girl, I forget her name, Christine maybe, I don't know. But she's like, hey, what do you think of this flyer? And you expect it to be like something. It literally just says, do not go swimming. She's like, yeah, it looks good. Looks good. I'm like, why is this a fucking scene?
Wait, is that also when those two girls like meet for the first time and they're just like, hey, you want to help? And for whatever reason, like, go fuck yourself, you stupid piece of shit.
Yeah.
And they're just trading the same barbs at each other for like 5 minutes.
Yeah, it's insane. The talking midway through this is absolutely out of control. We also meet like a weird cast of characters that just end up dying. This guy with the straw hat in the boat who's trying to catch an aquanoid.
Oh, that's old Jimbo.
That's not old. Fuck. That's not old man Jimbo. That guy gets killed right now.
Yeah, old Jimbo. Put some respect on his name. He's not Jackson the drunk.
So there's two old men. There's old man Jimbo and old man Jackson.
Yeah. Well, there's Jackson. There's old man Jackson, and there's old OL like apostrophe space Jimbo. Old Jimbo. Old Jimbo. I got there. Got there. Hunk of meat.
I mean, he's not wrong. Old Jimbo does have a hunk of meat tied on a string that he thinks he's going to catch an aquanoid with, but he doesn't because he sticks his head. He's like, I think something's grabbing on, and then sticks his head in the water. Imagine for checking for fish like that. Honestly, I'd love to go.
Face in the water for a minute.
I'd love to go fishing with your two dads and just do that. When I think there's a bite on the line, be like, hang on one sec.
Sean, did I ever tell you a story about fishing with my dad?
No.
Dude, every year we go on vacation, my dad would take my brother and I out fishing. He'd sit in the middle of the canoe, and it'd be my dumbass brother and I on both ends of the canoe, and we'd cast the same way and get both rods tangled. And my dad got so mad at us one time, he took both rods. Instead of untangling them, he snapped them over his knee and threw them in the river.
It's so crazy that only Paul's dad rivals Joe's dad.
Yeah, no, my dad, I think two times we went fishing. The very first time I was probably in second grade, and he cast his rod back and hooked my earlobe and spent the rest of the time screaming at me for standing in the way. And like, it was like literally like hooked through the earlobe. And it was all my fault, and the fishing day was ruined, and like he's furious at me for ruining his fishing day. And the second time we went out, we were a little bit older, and it was the most serene water you could have ever been on, and he complained about how the boat was rocking too much and it was making him seasick. So we had to go home after like 5 minutes.
Dude, it's so crazy to think about our parents. 90s parents were just something else. Because my son is in second grade now, and to me, he's still like, and I don't mean this in like a sentimental way, he's like kind of a baby still, right? Like, they're so little in second fucking grade. I know you guys don't have second graders, but you'll see, like, in second grade, you would never like scream at your kid.
I wouldn't like, do it ever. Like, especially if I hooked their ear. I'd be like, holy fuck, I'm so sorry. You know? Dude. Like, what did I just do?
In second grade, they're still barely like they can talk better, but they're basically kindergartners, right? Like, they're the same. And to think about the shit our parents screamed at us about in second fucking, they thought we were fucking adults. They thought we were like fucking like chimney sweeps in the 1800s.
Yeah, that generation is crazy. Like,
in second grade, we were finding porno in the woods and hiding it in microwaves built into the ground, and hiding weapons and starting fires.
I mean,
that is true. On my street.
Fact. I remember in fourth grade, I was waiting for a bus. Kid told me what a hermaphrodite was. Like, it was wild, dude.
It was.
I can actually tell you the person's name too. You might be bleeping though.
Don't. I don't want to edit anything. It's not fucking worth it. Also, it was definitely Matt Jacob.
No. If it was not him.
All right. Anyway.
I was waiting to get on the bus. He's like, "Hey, you know what a hermaphrodite is?"
Yeah. Pause.
Somebody. Okay. Never mind. Get the picture.
Hey, why wasn't Clint Howard in this movie?
That's a good question. Clint Howard
in his rain jacket drill
as a weapon.
You dumb ball. All right. So where are we at? So they killed the straw hat guy, who I guess his name is Old Jimbo, according to Paul. The mayor pays a fucking cop to kill Vanessa. he fucking gives her a fucking envelope, envelope of money. Which, can you imagine like a small town like Cheshire handing out that much money for a bribe?
If it fits in the envelope, it's like $140.
Okay. Thanks, Paul.
Also, that's not true.
Yeah, wait, that's definitely not true. I can't believe I took that for his word, because I was like, yeah, maybe. And then I was like, wait, two $100 bills.
That would be one $100 bill and two 20s. So by that theory, you could easily fit $300 in there. Which, by the way, you could fit like 20,000 in there. Are you fucking kidding me? 140?
Anyway, we then watch Clint, the crony to the mayor, fuck the reporter. Who, by the way, that reporter is so beyond out of this guy's league, it's unbelievable. And this guy is pounding it out in the bathroom. And then he steals the videotape from her. Does that come into play at all?
No.
Dude, that I was actually just silent. Like, I was thinking in my mind, was this the same movie? That sex scene is insane. Also, somehow, she's the one that orgasms and he doesn't. Which is like, that might be a first in movie history, right?
Yeah.
He's like, wait, am I going to get the fish? Like, are you kidding me?
What she said, though? She goes, as she's banging her, she's like, tell me how corrupt the mayor is. Tell me about the
outdoors. Well, at first I was like, oh, she's using him for this information. I was like, that's a good play. But then that's not the case. He's using her to steal the fucking tape. Which, by the way, the tape is not that important because it's just that idiot, Vanessa, being like, aquanoids exist. Meaning nothing. Like, it fucking doesn't do anything. And that does...
The dialogue in this movie is so good, I thought it was written by Aaron Sorkin, okay? That's all I gotta say.
All right, Paul.
You guys are out of control, man. You guys are out of control.
Oh, my God. Anyway, so that cop that took the bribe takes Vanessa out to sea to kill her, but she thinks they're going to go look for an aquanoid. There's probably 100 different ways to kill somebody out at sea to make it look like an accident happened, right? But his plan is to strangle her from behind. His fucking thumbs are on her spine.
But they start on her boobs, and it's close up.
Well, that's after, because she breaks free, obviously, because she's not being actually strangled.
Dude, just a grope fest.
And then just immediately grabs her boobs and squeezes as hard as he can, which shockingly doesn't kill her. But then she grabs his dick, which in theory, you know, obviously doesn't work. But yet she grabs his dick and blood starts pouring out of his fucking shorts. It's the goriest scene we've seen. in this fucking movie about sea monsters. She then kicks him in the ocean, and for some reason blood's pouring out of his eyes, and the aquanoids get him. Oh, and no, by the way, while all this is happening, the mayor and his crony are watching from a hill.
Did you notice, Sean, how many boats were actually like right behind them in this bay?
It's so many. It's the most.
There's like five boats behind him. Like, how are you going to get away with this? Literally, everyone can see you.
In every fucking scene, there's like 13 boats in the lake.
Yeah, because it's such a fucking shithole of a movie that they do one take on everything.
Yeah. And Vanessa and Christina then link up with Old Man Jackson, who is not an old man at all. And they all decide to, again, go kill the fucking aquanoids. And I forget what Old Man Jackson says, but he fires like 18 shots into the fucking ocean, and it's like, oh my god, he can't believe he missed. And then they get into an insane shootout with Clint, the mayor's crony, and it kills it kills fucking Old Man Jackson.
Who's better, Sean, Old Man Jackson or Captain Billy?
Oh, shit. What was Captain Billy from? The rabbit?
I think Night of the Lepus.
Night of the Lepus, yeah. Captain Billy's definitely better.
I think I agree.
But this guy's great because he gets shot by the mayor's crony and then is dying and then reveals to Vanessa that he is Vanessa's his daughter.
Dude, is Paul still here?
Yeah.
Of course I am.
Hasn't reacted in 20 minutes.
What are you going to say,
Paul? All I know is the woman who was killed in the opening scene in 1986 was Vanessa's mom, who was impregnated by this drunk Jackson, who was then just creeping on her this whole time with binoculars.
Paul, honestly, you putting that together is more than the movie did. Because I had no idea that was the case. When did she give birth to Vanessa if she died in the fucking lake that day?
I guess before then.
Okay. Well.
Duh.
He's like, you're my daughter. And there's absolutely zero stakes to this. But she's like, oh my god.
Wait, hold on. Did you skip the part where the mayor's daughter gave birth to an
aquanoid? I'm coming back. I'm circling back around. I'm circling
what
back.
What the fuck? Is this a Tarantino fucking... Why are you coming back, bro?
Okay, Paul.
This non-linear storytelling is killing me.
Well, to appease Paul, we get a group of adults at the beach who talk about Roger Corman and shitty movies forever. They all get killed, though. They think they're so cool, referencing Tentacle. And then we cut to a woman who's giving birth to a fucking aquanoid, and it turns out it is, as Paul mentioned, the mayor's daughter.
I love the close-up on her boobs.
They're giving CPR. He's giving CPR at some point. He's giving CPR, and he's just slapping her boob.
That's where the lungs are.
Jesus Christ. And also, the worst filters I've ever seen are going on. Like,
dude, how about the cops stomping out the fucking baby aquanoid, and then the coroner being like, "Oh yeah, that was a baby."
The aquanoid comes out, but it's like the alien scene, right? Like that must have been what they were going for,
right?
It's on the ground, and the cop immediately just curb stomps it, right? Just fucking stomps it right out. Stomps it
straight out.
And then yeah, that guy is just like, you know that was a baby, and the guy's like, what have I done? Fucking ridiculous.
Might be my favorite scene. And by the way, then the cop pulls out a gun and is like, tell me the truth. And then the guy's like, oh yeah, no, that's an aquanoid. Sorry.
Dude, the guy who's the coroner is absolutely insane. Like, what? I don't know, like, what the fuck that guy's doing this entire movie? Because like, he's so defiant at times. Like, he's like in their face, but at times he's like such a bullshitter.
Yeah. That's a take. Hey.
Paul, is this scene where your favorite line was from? Is this a scene?
Yes, because the medical examiner tells him it's a baby, and then the cop pulls a gun on him, and he admits it's a cover-up. And then he's like, it's going to be bad. 1987 bad.
Dude, that line...
The 38 dead bodies in 1987, just a throwback to it.
Sean, bad. That line, Paul, for fuck's sake. Yeah, this what just happened is what happened for the entirety of 2004 to 2006. Just everything that
Nick Young, nice dick.
That everything that would happen, Paul would just be like, yeah, 1987 bad. Like, I guess whatever you said, that's what Paul would interject with. I'm pretty sure that was even his AOL away message for the entire year.
Oh man, it's fucking great. And then my favorite scene in the whole movie is the fucking mayor comes in and the fucking coroner takes the dead aquanoid and starts using it as a puppet and calls him grandpa.
Sail into your grandchild.
After his daughter died.
The guy who plays a coroner is fucking off the walls. The guy's insane. He doesn't know how to act, but he also doesn't know how to act. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, sure.
I do actually know what you're saying.
Dude, the puppet calls him grandpa. Dude, the mayor comes in to see his dead daughter. He's all distraught. The guy's using an aquanoid as a puppet. A dead aquanoid. I'm your grandson. It's the most insane thing I've ever heard.
I think I like this movie even more.
Yeah, this movie's a shit,
dude. This movie is. It was really hard because I was kind of digging it, and then I was like, "Am I being too lenient on movies lately?" Because I feel like I love everything we watch, and I feel like I should not like Aquanoids. But like,
no, it's a piece of shit. I mean, Aquanoids
sucks, but it's not the worst movie.
It's really not.
It's not a bad good movie. A good bad movie. It's like a good bad.
No, bad. It's just a bad movie that you can enjoy.
Well, think about what you just said.
I literally can't.
Oh, man. So after that, to fix Paul's timeline, after that is when we revealed Vanessa is old man Jackson's daughter, which no one cares about. And then the mayor starts trying to assassinate Vanessa and her friend from a hill. And then the fucking cop that we haven't seen in fucking forever harpoons him in the neck and screams, "Look at you now, fucker." So fucking aggressive. So the mayor's dead, and then he's like, "Oh, it's all over." And the girls, by the way, reacting to their attempted assassination, are just cracking up. And one of them's like, "That's my boy." I'm like, "What? That's fucking a super weird reaction to have to just being almost murdered, but that's fine." And now you'd think that might be the end, right? Like, I mean, it would be kind of a fucking anticlimactic end, but like, it's about to get way, way worse. Because that's the last we'll see of our crew that we've been following this entire movie, right?
Yes.
What we cut to is this like Italian mobster. Who shows up and is being interviewed by our TV show host. And he's just like, "Yeah, all those people were killed by the currents in the ocean." And she's like, "But what about all the bodies?" And he's like, "Yeah, it's the fucking currents." And then she's like, "Well, what about the cop's like defense? Like, the cop said he saw it." And it's revealed that he's been arrested for murder. and that's the end of the movie. Like, that's what ties the movie up.
Hold on here. I got to weigh in on something.
Okay.
Did you not notice that the microphone is hanging down during that interview?
No, I didn't. Are you serious? The boom mic.
Dude, the microphone during that entire interview. When they're talking to that guy who's the district attorney, the microphone, like, two or three times just dips down, and you see it at the top of the screen.
Paul, I can't believe you know that that's the district attorney. Who even said that that was the district attorney?
Oh, my God. Wait, hold on. Dude, Jack, wait, hold on.
Hold on. Paul, fucks. Dude.
Jesus. Paul, you're right over there.
what just happened? It's like W.C. Fields having a stroke. Are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah, again. So, Vanessa.
Again?
The weapon she uses to shoot the aquanoid.
Oh, I forgot about that scene.
Dude, it's a fucking drill.
Yeah.
These are a fucking drill. It is a. Rah, listen, careful. We only have one shot. This is a special explosive tip. But this movie has such a low budget that he's a fucking drill. It's like a fucking Black and Decker. It's unbelievable. It's just unbelievable.
That's what you had to add?
Jeez. That's actually something he already brought up earlier in the episode.
it's insane to me that you could have a movie that's so low budget that...
That it's low budget.
The pinnacle, the fucking, the dating wall, blah, 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 the climax of the film, the special weapon, it's gonna be a fucking drill with a drill bit.
Paul, people are gonna think you have Tourette's.
Paul, what is happening?
I'll probably fight
it. What the fuck is happening?
Making weird ass noises.
I'm gonna piss my pants. I'm gonna piss my fucking pants.
People are gonna fucking be pissed this episode.
What the fuck? Alright.
Shit, I'm pissed.
Alright, Paul.
That's a perfect quote.
Alright. Well, it's not the final scene. The final scene is like this bizarre edited image of a fetal aquanoid. I guess, supposed to amp us up for Aquanoids 2, but that did not happen.
Of course not.
I can't stop laughing at Paul just fucking talking and being blah, 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 blah. Fucking insanity.
Oh my god, Paul, that's the end of the episode. What do you think? Would you recommend Aquanoids for people?
Absolutely.
Joe.
It's a
That I don't agree with. If you like bad movies, yes, I would recommend it.
Yeah, it's not something you're going to want to sit through, right?
If you like shit movies, yes, watch it.
There you go.
Yeah, it's a bad good movie.
Exactly, Paul. Thanks.
Classic case of a bad good movie.
Paul, what the fuck is a bad good movie?
Rotor?
I wasn't asking you to give me examples. I meant like a definition of it. But you know what? You know what? I think you're right. So you've won me over with that response. Rotor is a bad good movie.
From 87?
Yeah, it's an acronym. How the fuck do you know that? What does Rotor stand for?
Who the fuck cares?
Robotic Officer Tactical Operation Research.
How did you look that up so fast?
Rotor is another movie.
I think Rotor has to be done as well as Mass Defying Guillotine.
For the show? Both.
Yeah.
They're both incredible.
I would do Rotor for sure. Rotor for some, Rob Halfield? Halfield?
Rob Halford?
Ooh. Halford. I'm too drunk. Sorry.
No, the guy from Judas Priest isn't in it.
I mean, he looks like him.
Wait. Dude, for some reason, Aquanoids, Rotor, Master of the Flying Guillotine, and what was the other movie, Paul? Lord of the G-Strings? Watch, they're on all the time. All the time in college.
You could honestly just do another Misty Monday flick with Screaming Dead.
We could.
A classic that Mike is on the DVD commentary for.
That is true.
That might be worth it.
It's so bad.
Hello, Saggins.
Oh my god. All right. Well, Paul, thank you for coming. I have to use the bathroom so bad. I have to fucking piss. Thank you for coming on, Paul. Appreciate you doing Aquanoids. Are you coming to the live show for Ticks next weekend, August 7th?
Tits! I'll be there.
You can pregame at my brother Stag before.
Oh, yeah. Paul, are you going to that?
Are you going to that?
Yeah.
All right, I'll be there.
All right.
I'm gonna punch Joe in the scrot.
Right in the scrot, baby. All right. Facebook.com/ I hate horror. I hate horror.com. Oh my god. Instagram.com/ I hate horror. Join in for the chance to win the prize pack that fucking Reagan's doing. Do you know there's absolutely no way to control me muting Paul? Oh, wait. Yes, I think I can. I can mute him.
What the fuck?
Paul's too drunk. Paul, you there?
This is fucking insanity. The guy's a newlywed. Are you kidding me? Wife's trying to sleep. What a fucking break.
Wife can't get away.
Once they're married, they can't leave. All right, Instagram.com/ I hate horror. We're doing a fucking giveaway, so please join us. Joe, where can they find you?
Boognish 1985, hopefully still around.
Paul, Paul, they don't need to find you. We'll just
I call the cops.
All right. Well, thank you guys both so much. And thank the fans for tuning in. This episode's probably a disaster, but we're going to find out. We're going to find out what you think. And usually these episodes that I hate, everyone's like, this is the greatest episode I've ever fucking... Paul, are you fucking serious?
Paul, was that even human? Like, honestly startled me.
I was a fucking aquanoid.
I didn't know that wasn't Joe.
All right. That's that. Thank you guys so much. Thanks to Joe. Thank you to Paul. And for Joe and Paul, this is Sean. Stay weird.
Thank you.
Adios.
Thank you, Paul. Adios. I dissect. Movies all fucking day. I wanna play.